Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the gang, the one you never asked to be a part of. You are listening to the Grief Gang podcast, the show dedicated to breaking down the topic of grief one conversation at a time with me, your host, Amber Jeffrey. Hello and welcome back to another week's episode. It's just me, myself and I today, me, myself and I. And we are going to be talking all about grief and the body. How does grief affect the body? This was a topic that came up time and time again from you guys that you wanted something on it. And it's been something that's been on my to-do list for quite some time. And I finally gotten round to it. Grief affects our bodies in more ways than one, and more ways than one that we, and you know, we don't even realize it. And so in this episode, I'm going to be sharing with you a little bit about how I've recognized in hindsight how grief has and still probably does affect my body, and also from you, the wonderful Grief Gang community, who so kindly and openly shared your experiences and how it affects you. Stick around towards the end as I will be sharing some resources and some information of where I have found the info that you are going to hear in this episode. So happy listening and big love. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to this week's episode. Let's talk about grief and the body and how grief affects the body, what it does to the body, because more often than not, this is a side of grief that's very like well underrepresented. Yeah, you get the gist. Obviously in grief, so much we talk about the emotional sides of it because it's just, you know, in hand, of course, but very rarely, but actually more so now, I'm seeing is people talking about, whether that's communities, professionals, whatever it is, actually talking about the physical effects of grief. And I think that, I mean, full disclaimer, actually, before I go any further, as we all know, I'm not a professional, darlings. I'm not a doctor. This is, oh my God, you hear my belly grumble? Fucking hell, I'm hungry. I'm not a professional. I'm not a doctor. This is just my own experience. And a little later, you will hear some experiences and, you know, opinions from people in the Grief Gang community who have shared with me how grief has affected their bodies, or how they feel or think grief has affected their body. And let me tell you, there's a lot. There's a lot of things. And I find it really fascinating. I find it really fascinating how, like, our head and our hearts and what we're going through mentally and emotionally has such an integral, that's not the right word. I keep using that word a lot, as quite a really visceral effect on, like, our body. And when I put this call out to the Grief Gang community saying, you know, tell me, how has grief affected you and your well-being and your body? And some of the things I got back, I was like, couldn't even think how that could. But then actually upon further reflection and actually like reasoning into a bit deeper how it's interlinked, makes total sense. So I guess really the whole objective of this episode is just to really just share awareness on it, because, and I don't want to go as far as being like, you know, everything is linked to your grief. Like, I don't know like how to word of like saying, you know, just because you're going through this, like that is immediately linked to your grief and your loss. It might not be, but it's just good to know that maybe other people have had these side effects. My stomach is scrambling. So maybe hunger is a side effect of grief. actually, it is a bit for me. So I'll share more of mine. But yeah, just to share awareness and to know that you're not alone, that if you're thinking, oh God, I'm feeling or experiencing this, is this just like a random me problem, or is this something maybe a bit deeper that's upon reflection like interlinked with my grief? You know, we're just sharing, we're just talking. I'm trying to do a little bit more chatty episodes, you know, and just I've banked over the years. I find that so weird to say over the years with Grief Gang. Like, it still feels like I've just started this thing, and it's been 3 years. What the hell? But like I was saying, over the years, like, I've just collated all of these like random topics, ideas that like either like you guys will inspire me to want to talk about, or on the Instagram, or just like in the middle of the night, I get these ideas. And I think I've held back being like, oh no, that wouldn't make like a long episode, therefore don't do it. And it's like, no. I quite enjoy like little bite-sized episodes of like my favorite podcasts, just like when days are busy and kind of you can't get the long ones in, having little bite-sized. This is, I guess, really the start of the mini-sode episodes, let's say. And I'm excited about it. It's short, it's compact, hopefully insightful. And hopefully you'll know that if you get runny bum, that it might be interlinked with your grief too. Right, I'm going to start fucking around. It's weird doing mini episodes, because like normally on big long episodes, I have like a proper structure. It's just me today, guys. So I think before I get into like some of the research that I very loosely did online, because, you know, I'm not a research guy. I'm not about to start making this all like a professional podcast and like, and this and that. But, you know, it's always good to have a few facts behind you, under your belt. But I thought I would kickstart before I get into sharing, you know, the resources that I found and people's experiences, that I'd share a little bit of my own, you know. You know, it's what I do. I can't ask you to share and not me share in tandem, you know, it's just not fair. So when I actually start thinking about this and like how grief affected my body and looking back and kind of actually even like present, but really actually taking myself back to those very early, because again, this is all like opinion based on what I'm talking about, my experience. I'm talking about me, and I can't, if this, you know, is in relation to anybody else, but I think there's like very different reactions and bodily reactions to grief. So like, for example, and like the ones that we're going to talk about today, I'm going to share with you today, I think actually tend to come maybe a little bit further down the line. For me, I don't think I started realizing the physical effects it was having on me maybe like 3 months into, but then there were those immediate physical reactions and changes in the immediacy of my mum's death. So like in the days and weeks afterwards, like started realizing, oh, this is how that's affecting me. And then actually later on, the more maybe long-term effects it was having on me. And so I guess I'll share a little bit more of the immediate effects that I definitely upon reflection and hindsight recognize, and you might recognize in yourself here as I'm talking. The most immediate one for me that I quite quickly noticed in myself amongst the whole, you know, days of those initial first weeks was my lack of appetite and very, very rapid weight loss. Full disclaimer, and I've got no shame in saying it, right? I was the skinniest I'd ever been in my life when my mum died, and I fucking loved it, and I looked great. immunity necklace. You know, there's this thing on TikTok going around. I mean, my best friends were talking about it. This thing called immunity necklace. And if you put if you type immunity necklace into the group chat and you say that, you're basically immune from anything that you're about to say, how wrong it is. So I'm saying immunity necklace now. I miss how skinny I was immediately after my mum died because I looked the best that I ever had in my life. Shame me for it. I don't mind. But jokes aside, and that was very abnormal for me. It's in terms of the lack of appetite, right? I'm an eater. I've always been an eater. It was very unlike me to miss. I'm not going to say like I skipped meals because it wasn't a conscious thing for me that I was missing meals. I wasn't skipping them purposefully. I was honestly forgetting what time of the day it was and going, oh shit, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I've not had breakfast, lunch. I've had a measly snack maybe. Actually, in most days though, it was honestly nothing. And it would get to dinner time and I'd just like wolf a dinner down. Probably wasn't that nutritious at all. Just something just to fill the hole quick and easy. Like I'd lost all kind of appetite for like, you know, getting back into cooking. Like I love cooking. It's a favorite pastime of mine. If my boyfriend's listening, he's going to say, you lying bitch. It's me who does the cooking, which is true. but yeah, I really lost my appetite. And when I now look back on photos of myself, like around those kind of 3 months, I look really hollow. And I know I said like I was my skinniest, I looked my greatest. I didn't actually really, like, in terms of like my face, I look quite hollow. It wasn't like, you know, really like to a point of like where it was a worry, but I didn't look healthy. That was for sure. I'd really lost like quite a lot of color in my skin, just like any sort of vitamin in me. It was quite scary, but I was hashtag skinny. But I would just, yeah, forget to eat most days. And then therefore, obviously, I had a severe lack of energy. And then I guess actually thinking now like on this next one, on the next kind of effect it has on me, our mum dying, it's actually quite interlinked. I'm only just realizing now was I overslept so much in those immediate days after mum died and months. And I'm actually going to go as far as even saying years. It's only really like now as I've kind of, I don't even know when I've kind of actually really started having a proper healthy relationship with sleep. And sleep is so fucking important, guys. Like if there's one thing I'm going to police you on and with my fake doctorate, it's your sleep is so important, and in grief as well, because, oh, it's just recharging. But anyway, let me get into it. I would oversleep. I'd kind of always overslept as like a child and a young adult. But I remember the night our mum was in hospital when she was literally dying, I remember my brother, he couldn't sleep all night and I was out like a light. I slept like the whole night through, hashtag going to hell, like, sorry you're dying, mum, but I need my 8 hours. But, and then after that, I would find myself that I would be, yeah, going to bed. I was always quite going to bed quite late, just like ruminating over things, sleeping till quite like late hours of the morning, sometimes into the afternoon, like losing days. I was losing days. Like I can't sit here and count and say like I did anything for, like I would just lose days just through sleeping. And then I would like nap in the daytime as well. I was just so exhausted. Even on like as the years went by and kind of like mum wasn't always such a, I mean, she still is, but like, you know, in them early like days, months, years when like they are just all that is present in your mind. And then as time goes on, yeah, they're not the first thing that you think about when you wake up or the last thing at night, but like they make their pockets, you know, into your day. Like just as the years went by, kind of I was just still so exhausted and just like thinking about her and everything that had happened was so physically exhausting. It was just like I could feel my body like tense as I was like thinking about her. And even pretty still to this day, like I know when like I tell my story to people and stuff, like I can feel my body get really tense and like I get quite exhausted after it and just be like, I need a nap. So oversleeping and sleeping for a long periods of time was definitely a thing for me. And I just became so lethargic, like, and I really, really try not to like nap in the daytime now, because I always used to wake up. It was always a good idea. They're always a good idea, aren't they, naps, until they aren't. And I'd always wake up and I just feel so much more shittier than I already did. You know that after nap, like, taste in your mouth is fucking disgusting. Like, I was having that, I was like, oh, no, I have to stop napping. I just have to actually start taking my bedtime routine really seriously. And, like, I've dipped in and out of, like, a healthy sleep routine over the years and kind of finally now feel, actually, I was going through a little bit of a blip right now, but getting back on track and actually realizing does it sound daft? I don't know. Of when you've got a really good sleep routine, like, I don't know, just feel like better to handle the day. Like, fuck me, there's nothing worse than maybe, you know, getting maybe 4 or 5 hours of sleep. And again, this is totally relative to people that we will discuss later in like insomnia. That's why it's so important to seek the help that you do need to rectify that, because you just totally dysfunction. And then the experience for me was definitely one that came years later, and it's actually quite a serious one. And I was like, oh fucking hell, given the circumstances too, was I started to have heart worries, like actually worries about my physical heart. I would get pains and pangs in my heart. And not enough to, like, you know, like cripple me to the floor or anything like that, but ones to make me notice, make me stop and go, like, I can remember there would be many times I'd be like in a conversation with somebody and I'd feel a pang and like I'd totally disassociate because I think this is it. I'm a fucking goner. And then kind of look at me like I'd completely go like glossy behind the eyes, so I'm just concentrating on what the fuck is going on with my heart. And it would just be, it was strange. It would just feel like I could feel every pulse of it, and I was like, is this a mini heart attack? Am I having a stroke? What is going on? And then throw in obviously that my mother died of a heart attack. I'm at 51. It's ingrained in me right now, guys, that I will die of a heart attack. I still haven't shaked that worry at all. Like, so, but do you know what, right? Even me saying all that, right, you would have thought in that immediacy, I would have gone and seen a doctor. I didn't though, did I? I just went, oh, and I mean, and again, a full disclaimer, I was a cigarette smoker. And so, you know, I'd be like, oh my God, why am I getting these heart pangs? And my boyfriend would be like, maybe because you smoke 20 cigarettes a day, you dickhead. I was like, yeah, true, but I'm not going to give them up. I have now, but I am an e-cigarette smoker. So kind of, I'd have these worries and be like, oh my God, like I can't die young, like my mum, blah, blah, blah. And then kind of actually looking at my lifestyle and going, oh, well, Amber, if you were to, everyone would say, told you so. which my boyfriend actually does say to me sometimes, bastard. Because, you know, if you die of something, I'm like, oh my, well, live fast, die young. Bad girls do it well.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I actually did take action this year. I did take action with my health this year. I don't know what it was, guys. I think it was turning the big 25, you know, the big 25. I know. I look so much younger, don't I? All right. It's all that fucking money on skincare that I spend. But so yeah, I turned 25 this year back in May. And when our mum died, our family GP back in our hometown, he said, he was like, you know, with your mum, like it was like semi-abnormal, obviously, of that age to die of a very sudden heart attack. So it would be wise to every year come back and just have blood tests and, you know, get a little MOT and get yourself checked out. And I remember like thinking, yeah, solid advice there, doc. Like I will actually do that. And then I think a year after, I went back to the same hospital in which my mum died, Wexham Park Hospital, to do this blood test. It was really random. I just woke up one day. I'm very impulsive, guys. I'm quite impulsive. And I woke up, I was like, I'm just going to go get a blood test. My boyfriend's like, okay. I was like, bye. Hopped in my car, went to the hospital. I don't know why I went to the hospital. Again, like, just brain fog. Like, what the fuck? Why don't you just call a GP? And get there, there's like this fat queue, get to the front of it, and I was like, oh, I just want to, because the GP, actually no, tell a lie, that's why I did go to the hospital, because the GP told me, you have to go to the hospital and do it. Again, I don't know, you know, how factual that is, but so I go there, I get to the front, I go, oh, I've been advised by my GP to go and, you know, have a blood test, because blah, 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 and she was like, okay, great, have you fasted for 12 hours? I said, darling, what? I said, fasted for 12 hours, given though still that I did have a lack of appetite, but, you know, actually forcefully telling myself not to eat for 12 hours, am I clinically insane? And I said, no, darling, I haven't fasted for 12 hours. She goes, oh, no, I can't. We can't do a blood test. Why? So I was like, oh, whatever then. Okay, walked out, the stroppy teenager that I actually still was a teenager then. I still find that mad that I was a teenager. What the fuck? And went back home, and it completely deterred me for 5 years. Couldn't be asked to do it. So it was until this year of 2022 that I realised, oh, Amber, you're getting a bit croaky now, darling. You know, you've hit 25, you're over the hill. And I thought, fuck it, let's do it. So I've moved out of my hometown area now to a different area. So I've got a new GP, a new practice. And I called, actually, well, it was my brother. He went and did his little MOT. He was like, Amber, go and do yours. I was like, okay, fine. So he was like, his friend's a doctor. He was like, tell her to ask for an ECG blood test, da, 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 just a simple little MOT. I was like, okay, cool. Call at the GP. You know, when it's like winning the local lottery now, getting through the, like, yes, get in. You've got through the line. You sat here for 45 bloody minutes trying to just get through to not even your GP, to the reception. I mean, you know, God love the NHS and I hope it repairs. But, you know, it's that postcode lottery at the moment trying to get a GP. Jesus Christ, trying to put my smear in was just like, you know, done. I'll just do it myself. I get through to the receptionist. I said, hi, I would like to book a ECG and a blood test, please. Why? She said, why? I said, I was like, oh, just a little MOT, you know. I don't know. I was a bit reluctant to just be like, my mum died and I should get one. So I was a bit reluctant. I just said, oh, I've just been advised to. She was like, by which? And she's questioned. And I was like, oh, I'll cut to the chase, love. I said, my mum died 6 years ago, 51. And when she died, our family doctor at the time said we should have regular da, 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 this, this and that. You know, that's why. If it's too much of a hassle and it's, you know, whatever, I'll leave it. She's like, 1 second, put me on hold. She's like, yes, okay, next week I'm going to put you on a consultancy call with the doctor and he'll see. Okay. I was like, oh, okay, thank you. A week later, have that call with the doctor. And this was honestly, guys, like, given that it wasn't a bad experience with the receptionist, like I went, it was just a bit, you know, a bit hostile to start with. And then get through to the doctor and I was a bit like, you know, wall up a little bit because, you know, like actually trying to do something for my health and like fight for something and actually, you know, be proactive and kind of was fighting walls. And I was, it's a good thing I'm a stubborn bitch, but if you're not a stubborn bitch, you might feel like, oh God, maybe I shouldn't be pushing for this. But later on, I'll tell you that, yes, you should. So I get through to the doctor and he's so kind and he's so lovely. And I tell him all about it. And he's like, so why are you? I said, yeah, my mum died. And as I finish, he's like, I just want to say, I'm so sorry to hear about the loss of your mum. I was like, oh, doc, thank you. That's very kind of you. And then he was like, what I'll do, I'll get you booked in next week with the nurse and we'll do all of that just so you have peace of mind. And it's very simple measure, just have that peace of mind. I was like, thank you very much, kind sir. Go there the next week, have my ECG, watch, you know, she's put all the sticky little wires all over me, like on my titties and my feet and everything. Feel like something out of X-Men. And run the tings. And it all came back honky-dory. So maybe I won't die of a heart attack at 51 like my mother. Who knows? We'll only have to wait another 20 odd years. Oh my God, it's even less. Quick maths. Oh my God, guys, yeah, 26 years I've only got to wait. Shit, you know, that's a realisation. Good Lord. Anyway, after that, so that's my story. So my heart, I was quite actually worried about my heart. That was a long-term effect of my grief that I was like, oh God, I don't know. Was it long-term for my grief? It kind of was. Like when the times, I remember the times when I would be like, vomiting, nearly crying about my mum, and I would get those pangs in my heart and I was like, oh my God, like these are very interlinked. And so I did a little bit of googling and I found out why are we affected by grief and what is the science behind it. And this came up with on heart problems. This is on a blog. I'll link it in the episode notes. It said heart problems, the intense stress your body undergoes can increase the risk of heart attack. Love that for us. Grief can also lead to a temporary condition that mimics heart disease. Mimics disease known as, all right, here we go, Takotsubo cardiomyopathy, or as we do know, broken heart syndrome, characterized by chest pain, shortness of breath, and ballooning of the left ventricle. Oh my God. This condition occurs primarily in women, yay, but often resolves itself within a month. Oh. Swiftly moving on from that lovely little note of resource there. When I put that into the notes, I thought that's really great and really insightful, but actually, yeah, reading out loud is a bit petrifying. But one thing I just want to share with you guys before I move on to community responses is that the body keeps the bloody score. The body keeps the score. And this was, there is an actual book literally called The Body Keeps a Score. And I will share that as a resource at the end and other things. But it really helped me understand how trauma and grief can live in your body consciously and subconsciously. It's a thick read. I would maybe highly recommend audiobook, but it's really, really fantastic. And actually where it can almost get trapped, like I know of stories of people where it's been like trapped in their throat, like they feel like they've always got like a really tight throat. And that might be you as well, where like you feel almost like you're choking a little bit, and it can sometimes stem from like, you know, if you're not releasing, you know, potentially if you don't normally lean into like crying and like releasing through that way, or like you're holding something back, you need to voice something, like grief and trauma can be trapped in those. And that can come from like an actual scientific or actually even like spiritual as well, of like, if you believe in like chakras and throat chakras and things like that. It's a fantastic read. But anyway, for me, kind of like what helped me get kind of through and was talking to people and releasing my grief. And my release obviously is through this on the podcast and through the community, but actually speaking with other people who are bereaved. And that story that I just told you there about the throat came from a friend through Grief Gang. And like, it wouldn't be without those conversations and just that transparency of just being like, do you experience this? Like, is it just me? And they're like, no, like I know someone who's done that, or I've been through that myself. And that is why I wanted to do this whole episode. So I'm going to get into now the grief response, the responses from the Grief Gang community of what and how they said they feel and know that grief affects their body. So I've got a couple of like actual emails that people sent, and then I've got this big bullet list, right? And I don't even know how many are on here, but I'm going to read you this bullet point list. And if you think these have affected you, like, you know, I don't know, you were at home, raise your hand, I don't know. Make a tally chart, something, I don't know. Right, so I asked, how does grief impact your body? The Grief Gang community said, let's go. Headaches / migraines, fatigue, exhaustion / extreme tiredness, insomnia, forgetfulness / brain fog, oversleeping, full body aches, lack of focus, lack of appetite, hair loss / thinning, eczema flare-up / psoriasis. Eczema came up a lot. Skin breakout / adult acne, IBS / bowel issues. Where's all my episode, guys and gals? Where are we, darlings? Get some probiotics because it's hard out here. Acid reflux, weak immune systems, unintentional weight loss, bloatedness, acid reflux. Did I have? Oh, I put that twice. Oh, how embarrassing. Weight gain, nausea, neck pain / jaw pain, deep muscle and joint pain, susceptibility to infections. So that was like, it's an extensive list. As I was saying, yeah, eczema flare-ups came up a lot, but also so did aches and pains, like just general aches and pains in the body came up a lot. And here is another explanation that I found to that. Stress hormones can also increase physical pain. People in mourning often report physical discomfort, which can manifest as headaches, joint pain, back pain, and stiffness. The bombardment of stress hormones essentially, quote, stuns the muscles, which is the cause for these uncomfortable sensations. Fortunately, the pain is most often temporary, but any prolonged discomfort should be discussed with a doctor. So, a little explanation there if you were kind of looking for one, maybe. Right, and here are some of the emails that I got from people when I put out, if they had a bit of more of a lengthy response to send to me. Somebody says, hi Amber, thanks for this. A little bit about me. I lost my dad 10 years ago after his diagnosis and rapid deterioration of MS. I've meandered my way through grief in the last 10 years, but last year, as I was in the middle of writing my dissertation, I had the worst eczema flare-up since I was a toddler. I had chosen to do my dissertation on young people's experiences with post-traumatic growth after losing a parent, and was loving the whole experience of researching and interviewing people, but my body had a very visceral reaction. It took about 6 to 8 months for my body to settle, and whilst I'm sure there was a large factor of stress / COVID-19, etc., I also felt it was a layer of grief that I hadn't experienced yet. I find that so fascinating. And thank you for sharing that. I mean, I'm really sorry that you experienced that. 6 to 8 months for that to settle. Sounds like agony, and as eczema can be really debilitating and so uncomfortable. But as you said, yeah, my body having a very visceral reaction. So though mentally you're really enjoying this experience and talking to people and understanding them and you know, gaining research for your dissertation, your body is saying, we're not enjoying this, hun. We're not enjoying this. Really interesting. Next one. Hi, Amber. Further to your Instagram post request, just wanted to share my experience. I had many of things listed in your post, such as widow brain, fog of grief, which resulted in loss of concentration / focus skills, forgetfulness, apathy, lack of focus, and higher stress levels. However, the big thing for me was weight gain. During the time I was a carer for my late wife, I lost a bit of weight because I was so busy, but after she died, I fell into the trap of emotional / comfort eating. I made sure to watch my alcohol intake, but didn't bother in the same way to watch my snacking, etc., and ended up putting on 4 stone over 3 years. I had a health scare that required an operation under general anaesthetic, and at the pre-op, I saw the figures on the scales and was told I'd hypertension, brackets, high blood pressure. That was my wake-up call and the kick up the arse to do something about it. I needed to get healthier for myself and my young son. Thankfully, 3 years on from that point, I've managed to lose a total of 6.5 stone, get my blood pressure down to normal levels and ditch the blood pressure medication and become the healthiest I've been since my teens. That was a journey there. That was a journey right there. Thank you so much for sharing that. Wow. Here we go. Hello, lovely. After my mum died, my stomach stopped processing food. I would eat and I would eat and food would just lie there for hours. Inevitably, I would throw up because it just wasn't going anywhere. Went to the doctor and he told me how the brain and gut are so closely connected. Basically, the chemical signals to tell my stomach to move the food to the next stage of digestion weren't firing. So I had to get medication to manually move food through me. It took months for my brain and my gut to start talking to each other again. Grief is so fucking weird. Yes, it is. So literally, like, to presume, brain is so fogged up with grief, it's forgetting to do its job. It's forgetting to do its job to say, oh, brain, sorry, you need a down and level stomach. You need to head on down and move the food along. And you know, level stomach is just in fucking flames. They're like, hello, we've got a backlog here. We need to get this food moving along. Isn't that fascinating? And it took months for the brain and gut to start talking to each other again, to be pals again. Some resources for you. Thank you for listening to this little mini-sode. It's actually ended up being a little bit longer than I thought it was going to be. Some resources for you that I wanted to share from today's episode, and just, you know, to round it up. If you are experiencing, you know, physical effects that are detrimentally affecting your day-to-day life, please head to your GP and talk to them. I know sometimes that people don't maybe have the best relationship with their GP or don't put much trust into them. You're not, or you know, you may think like, oh, this is silly, like it's just something that will pass, and it might well do. But if it's something that is really debilitating your everyday, you know, functionality of life, please go and see your doctor and fight for your case. If you're going there and you're kind of being turned away and know you're being silly, but you feel in your heart of hearts that there's just something not right, and you want to get your life back and to kind of get a little bit back on track a little, please do, and fight for your case. And if you don't feel up to it, have somebody there with you too to fight your case for you. Because I know when I go to the GP sometimes, I have all these things that I want to say. And then I get in there and sometimes get a little bit intimidated. I know it's hard to think of me being intimidated because I'm a bitch. But sometimes you do just need someone to be like, oh no, and you wanted to talk about this thing, didn't you, as well? And I know that's really hard, especially in COVID times, as I know still the GP is sort of like, you know, one person in and stuff like that. But even if you can't take somebody, write all the things that you want to get down. Like if you can write a log of what you've been like experiencing, write that log down, bring it in with you so that you know, because like I said, it's like postcode lottery with them GP appointments. You know, you've left that appointment knowing I have told them absolutely everything that is going on with me. And you haven't got up, oh shit, I need to make another appointment again. And you got to wait another 2 weeks. The book that I was mentioning earlier, The Body Keeps a Score. So yeah, read or listen to the book, The Body Keeps the Score, Brain, Mind and Body in the Healing of Trauma by Bessel van der Kolk. So that's Bessel space van, V-A-N, space D-E-R space K-O-L-K. Fantastic read. And then the little pockets of information I was talking about earlier after like the heart and aches and pains, that came from a blog that was on unitedphysiciangroup.com, how grief affects your body. So if you want to go a little bit onto that, they had different kind of explanations on things on there as well. And lastly, talk to your friends and family and don't suffer alone. Don't suffer in silence. Those that love and care for you will support you in finding the right support. You might be worried about worrying them. Like I was quite petrified to tell anybody in my life about those heart problems that I was having on, but they were worrying me so much that people could begin to see that worry on my face, and so I couldn't really hide it anymore. And once I shared it, there was kind of like a clear pathway of how I could get through it and actually be like, okay, let's try and find a solution then, just to talk about it, you know. So yeah, you might be worried about worrying them, but as I said earlier, you know, your health has to come first. You and your health and your everyday life and day-to-day of how you move around and navigate through your physicality is so important, and understanding that grief can affect that and that you're not like crazy and you're not overthinking or you're not being, you know, these two things are very interlinked. So it's good to know these things. It's good to know. Well, that's the end of the episode. Thank you so much for joining me on this mini-sode that's kind of not ended up a mini-sode. I've really enjoyed it. Lots of love. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.